All right, let's dive into a world of ghost ransomware today. We're going to break down what makes ghosts so unique, why it's causing so much concern, and most importantly, what you need to know to protect yourself.
Yeah, ghost ransomware is why we're representing the shift in the threat landscape. It's a global operation impacting over 70 countries, and it's constantly evolving.
We've got some really great material to work with today. We've got this joint advisory from CISA, the FBI, and MSISAC, and then also some insights from Technegion, which is a cybersecurity company.
Yeah, having those two sources really gives us a well-rounded view. We get to hear from the officials on the front lines, but also from those who are kind of in the trenches of cybersecurity.
So to start, let's make sure that we're all on the same page. Can you give us a quick rundown of what ransomware is and how it typically works?
Sure. So ransomware is a type of malware that essentially holds your data hostage. It encrypts files on a computer or network, locking you out, and then the attackers demand a ransom, usually in cryptocurrency, to give you the key to unlock your files.
So they're basically digital kidnappers.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But what makes ghost ransomware so different and so concerning is that it's constantly evolving. You know, we're not dealing with a static threat here. The attackers behind ghosts are continuously changing their tactics, using different malware signatures, switching up file extensions, and even changing their ransom notes.
So it sounds like they're really trying to stay one step ahead of security measures.
Exactly. They are trying to make it as difficult as possible to detect and combat them. Traditional security solutions that rely on recognizing known patterns or signatures are often ineffective against ghosts, because it's constantly changing its appearance.
Now, we mentioned that ghosts has affected over 70 countries. That's a huge global reach. Is it just striking at random, or are there specific targets they seem to prefer?
Well, that's one of the most fascinating aspects of ghost ransomware. While it's affected a wide range of sectors globally, you know, from critical infrastructure to healthcare, and even election systems, the attacks aren't completely random. The source material indicates that they often target specific vulnerabilities in outdated software and systems with weak security practices.
So it sounds like they're looking for the path of least resistance.
Yeah, they're looking for easy targets. Organizations that haven't kept their systems updated are particularly vulnerable. This is where the human factor often comes into play. Many organizations delay software updates due to budget constraints, compatibility issues, or just a lack of awareness about the risks. They don't realize that these outdated systems are like open invitations for attackers.
The advisory specifically mentions Fortinet SSL VPNs, Adobe ColdFusion, and Microsoft Exchange servers as being common targets. What makes these systems particularly vulnerable?
Well, these systems are often running older versions of software, sometimes because organizations don't see the need to update if things seem to be working fine. But those older versions often have known vulnerabilities that haven't been patched. Imagine a house with a broken lock on the back door. It might seem secure from the front, but anyone who knows about that broken lock can just walk right in.
So keeping software up to date is really like locking your digital doors and windows. It might not stop the most determined attacker, but it will certainly deter a lot of opportunists.
That's a great analogy. And it's important to remember that this applies to everyone, not just large organizations. Think about your personal devices and software. Are you keeping them updated?
That's a good point. I know I'm sometimes guilty of clicking, remind me later when those update notifications pop up, but it sounds like those updates are much more critical than I realize, especially with this ghost ransomware lurking out there.
Exactly. Delaying updates is essentially leaving yourself vulnerable to attack. And speaking of vulnerabilities, this brings us to a particularly concerning aspect of ghost ransomware's activities. It's links to attacks on U.S. election support systems.
Okay, now we're getting into some truly unsettling territory. We're not just talking about businesses losing data here. We're talking about the potential to disrupt the democratic process.
Yeah, the stakes are incredibly high. And what's particularly concerning is that the vulnerabilities exploited in these attacks are often the same ones we've been discussing, like the vulnerability in Fortinet SSL VPNs. The advisory points to a specific case where an election support system was compromised through this vulnerability.
It's alarming that they're not necessarily using cutting-edge shacking techniques. They're taking advantage of known weaknesses that could have been fixed with a simple software update.
This underscores the critical importance of cybersecurity in government and national security. These systems are often high-value targets for disruption, and even a small vulnerability can have a significant impact.
So it's not just about protecting data, it's about protecting the integrity of critical systems and processes that we all rely on.
That's right. And while the potential consequences of these attacks are very concerning, it's important to remember that we are not powerless. There are steps we can take to protect ourselves.
So we've established that keeping software updated is crucial. What other measures can individuals and organizations take to strengthen their defenses against ghost ransomware? The advisory lists a number of recommendations, multi-factor authentication, secure backups, network segmentation. It can feel a bit overwhelming, to be honest. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, it's true that there's a lot to consider, but let's break it down and focus on some key areas. One of the most effective measures you can implement is multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
I've heard a lot about MFA, but I'm not entirely sure how it works in practice. Could you walk us through it?
Of course. So it's essentially an extra layer of security that requires you to prove your identity in multiple ways. Think of it like entering a secure building. You might need to show your ID to the guard and then use your key card to access specific areas.
So it's not just about having a strong password. It's about adding another step to verify that it's really you trying to access your account or device.
Exactly. And that extra step can make a huge difference. Even if an attacker manages to steal your password, they won't be able to get past that second layer of authentication without also having access to your phone, a security token, or your fingerprint, for example. You probably use MFA more than you realize. Have you ever received a text message with a code when logging into your online banking? Or email account that's MFA in action?
Ah, that's what that is. It always seemed like a bit of an extra hassle, but I can see how important it is now, especially in the context of these sophisticated ransomware attacks.
It's becoming increasingly important as cybercriminals become more sophisticated in their methods. And speaking of sophistication, we should also discuss the role of social engineering in many ghost ransomware attacks.
You mean tactics like phishing emails and scams that trick people into giving up their information or downloading malware?
Precisely. The human factor is often the weakest link in cybersecurity. Attackers are very good at crafting emails that look legitimate and using psychological manipulation to trick people into clicking on malicious links or opening infected attachments.
It's like they're playing mind games to exploit our natural trust and helpfulness.
That's a good way to put it. And with ghost ransomware, we've seen cases where phishing emails were used as the initial entry point. Once an employee clicks on a malicious link or opens an infected attachment, the ransomware can spread quickly through the network. The advisory actually highlights a case where an organization was compromised through a spear phishing attack that targeted their HR department.
It's a reminder that cybersecurity is not just about technical measures. It's about awareness, education, and vigilance. We need to be careful about what we click on, suspicious of unexpected emails, and aware of the tactics that these attackers use.
Absolutely. Regular security awareness training can be incredibly effective in helping people recognize and avoid these types of attacks. It's about empowering individuals to be the first line of defense.
So we've covered keeping software up to date, implementing MFA, and being cautious about social engineering tactics. Are there any other key recommendations from the advisory that we should discuss?
Yes, secure backups are absolutely essential. Think of it as your insurance policy in case the worst happens.
Because if your system is compromised and your data is encrypted, you can restore from a backup and essentially go back in time to before the attack, right?
Exactly. That's why it's so important to have regular backups and to make sure those backups are stored securely. You don't want your backups to be infected with ransomware as well.
So where should people store their backups? Is an external hard drive enough?
An external hard drive can be a good option, but it's important to keep it disconnected from your computer when you're not actively backing up your data. Otherwise, the ransomware could spread to the external drive as well.
So it's like having a fireproof safe for your most important documents, but you wouldn't leave the safe open all the time, would you?
That's a great analogy. You want to keep your backup separate and secure. Cloud-based backup services can also be a good option, as they often have multiple layers of security and redundancy.
So even with all these precautions in place, what happens if the worst-case scenario occurs and someone actually gets infected with ghost ransomware? What should they do?
The first and most important step is to isolate the infected device or systems. Disconnect them from the network. To prevent the ransomware from spreading, that means unplugging Ethernet cables, turning off Wi-Fi, disconnecting any external drives.
So basically quarantine the infected device, like a patient with a highly contagious illness.
Yes, exactly. Containment is crucial. Once the device is isolated, you should contact the appropriate authorities. CISA and the FBI have dedicated teams that can help you navigate this situation.
Okay, so isolation, contact the authorities. What about the ransom demand itself? Should you pay it or not?
That's a tough question, and there's no easy answer. The advisory strongly discourages paying ransoms. There's no guarantee that you'll actually get your data back, even if you pay.
So it's like trusting a criminal to honor their word.
Yeah, and paying ransoms also funds their criminal activities and encourages more attacks. However, I understand that in some cases, paying the ransom might seem like the only option.
especially for organizations that provide critical services like hospitals or emergency response teams, where even a temporary loss of access to data could have serious consequences.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to have those secure backups in place. If you have a recent backup, you can restore your data without having to give in to the attacker's demands.
So it sounds like the takeaway here is to focus on prevention and preparedness. Take the necessary steps to protect yourself. Have a plan in place in case of an attack. And don't give in to fear.
I think that's a great summary. Knowledge is power. Understanding the threat, being aware of the risks, and taking proactive steps can significantly reduce your chances of becoming a victim of ghost ransomware.
It feels like we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. The basics of ransomware, the specific tactics that Ghost uses, global impact, potential consequences, steps we can take to protect ourselves.
It's been a pretty comprehensive exploration. And you know, it is encouraging to see that this advisory provides so much practical guidance. They're not just highlighting the problem, they're actually offering solutions as well.
Yeah, they're not just saying, hey, there's this scary new ransomware out there, good luck. It's like they're giving us the tools and information we need to fight back. But it does make you think, you know, the advisory focuses primarily on the technical aspects of this, updating software, implementing MFA, strengthening network security. But what about the human element?
That's a crucial point. Even with the most robust technical defenses in place, human error can still be a major vulnerability. Think about those phishing emails we discussed earlier. All it takes is one careless click, one moment of inattention, and an attacker can gain access to your entire system.
So it's not just about having the right technology, it's about having the right mindset.
Exactly. We need to cultivate a culture of cybersecurity awareness, where individuals understand the risks, recognize the signs of an attack, and know how to respond appropriately. It's about empowering people to be proactive, not just reactive.
Do you think there's a way to make cybersecurity training more engaging and effective? I know some people tend to tune out during those mandatory training sessions.
There's definitely room for improvement. Instead of just lecturing people about policies and procedures, we need to make it more interactive, more relatable. Simulations, real-world examples, even gamification can be effective ways to capture people's attention and make the information stick.
I like that idea. Make it feel less like a chore and more like a challenge or even a game. We need to make cybersecurity everyone's responsibility, not just the IT department's problem.
Absolutely. It's a shared responsibility. And the more we can educate and empower individuals, the stronger our collective defenses will be. Think of it this way. We teach children about fire safety, how to call for help, what to do in an emergency. Cybersecurity awareness should be just as fundamental.
That's a great analogy. It's about building those habits and reflexes from a young age, so it becomes second nature.
And it's not just about protecting ourselves, it's about protecting our families, our communities, our institutions.
Well said. I think this deep dive has been incredibly informative, even if a little unsettling at times. But, you know, knowledge is power, right? The more we understand about the threats we face, the better equipped we are to deal with them.
I agree. And the good news is that we have the tools and resources available to protect ourselves. We just need to be proactive and vigilant.
So for our listeners who are feeling a little overwhelmed by all this information, what's the one key takeaway you would leave them with?
Don't panic. Be informed. Take action. Start with the basics. Update your software. Enable MFA. Be wary of suspicious emails. And if you're not sure where to start, reach out to your IT department or consult the resources available from CISA and the FBI.
Those are great, actionable steps. And remember, you're not alone in this. We're all in this digital world together, and we need to work together to stay safe.
Well said. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay safe out there.
And that concludes our deep dive into the world of ghost ransomware. We hope you found it informative and empowering. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.